mass ritual events, mystical symbolism mixed with the hijacking of mental energy. And when it comes to mass ritual events, there's only one that uses more energy and attention than the Super Bowl, and that's the Olympics. And today, we're going to analyze the symbolism behind the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics mascots called the Fergies. We'll talk about its connections to the French Revolution and how it goes back to the occult art of alchemy. We'll revisit Romans' Mithraism and find out if the 2024 Olympics are Illuminate confirmed. Now, before we get into today's topic, I got the smallest amount of housekeeping. First off, I want to thank everybody who came out to Vegas to see the live lecture event with me, Jay Dyer, Jamie Hanshaw, and Jim Bob. Had a hell of a time. A memory I'll cherish forever, all right? And the big question always is, well, am I going to do another lecture? I think I will. I know I said I wasn't going to. It was actually a ton of stress and anxiety leading up to it, but much like I was told by other, conspiracy presenters, it's kind of worth it. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, it feels that way. I did say this might be the one and only, and I'm already reneging on that. I'm already trying to figure out if there's another way I can squeeze in some more lecture time. So, yeah. Anyway, the reason why, because, I'm pretty candid with you guys. Financially, it's not worth it, because I got to travel and all this stuff. And by the time you pay for the travel, you don't even break even, right? But that's not the point, all right? Let's have a mind shift. The big difference, the big key thing that I enjoyed was meeting so many of you and talking to you. I said I was going to do that, and I'm happy you guys showed up because I got to spend some time with some people that I've only talked to in the comment sections and on the emails and on the Patreon DMs and all that stuff. And I'm still processing this whole event. It was one of those memories I'll take with me the rest of my days. So I'm actually very grateful for that. It was really cool. It gave me a lot of clarity. It reinvigorated my passion for the truther community. It was a game changer for me, honestly. I'll dig more into it with it's a more appropriate discussion on breaking social norms. The show I do with my wife Josie, who is with me, and you guys all showed so much love to her and me, and I'm so grateful that it turned out well, because I was really nervous about it, right? I'll go into more detail on breaking social norms. I don't want to keep kind of droning on and on about it, but it was shockingly fun for me, okay? I'll go into detail on breaking social norms, so go subscribe to that show if you want to catch that episode. It should be the next one I put out over there. Also, let me talk to you real quick, all right? Are you one of these people that wants to support the show, but you don't really want to buy a book because you don't want to read a book? Well, a great solution is to buy merchandise from your favorite podcasters. The problem with that is a lot of people sell merchandise and t-shirts, and they're scratchy and they're painful, uncomfortable shirts that you don't even want to wear them. You buy them and then they go in your closet and you're like, I don't know, it's uncomfortable. You end up never wearing it. You buy the shirt, it's kind of rough. You wash it, you hope for the best, but then it comes out all deformed and uncomfortable. Here's what you're going to love. I've got the solution. I painstakingly found my man, the great t-shirt supplier that I use, got these super soft tri-blend t-shirts, slightly slim fitting so they don't look too baggy or crazy. And it's got this beautiful podcast logo that says Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture on the front. These nerds are going to kill us on the back. I got them in stock. I got the black ones. You see Laura Palmer behind me modeling the gray one. Well, I got the black ones. That's the most popular color, so I got those back in. And look, I've sold hundreds of these shirts, tons of five-star reviews from my Gumroad store. You can check that out for yourself. People love them. I've never had anyone ask for a return or cash back or anything. And I offer that, right? If you hate any of my stuff at all, I want you happy. So I've never had an issue with them. Everyone's loved them, all right? The front, in fact, a caveat, my t-shirt guy, he ended up, one time when we were early trying to figure this out, he had sent me some shirts that didn't have the tri-blend super soft thing, and then I sold some of those at a discount, because it was a misunderstanding we had, and that was the only time I ever got a complaint. I saw people that said, man, these shirts kind of suck. And it's like, yeah, that's because that's not the shirt. This is the shirt, the tri-blend buttery soft shirt that you're always going to wear because it's the most comfortable. And I got them in stock. I actually took them to the lecture event. I had a brand new shipment in. I took them all to the lecture event, sold a bunch of them. Thank you, whoever bought them down there. And this is what I got left over. So I put them all up in my Gumroad store. I'll put the link in the show notes, as well as the coveted, much requested. It's the same shirt. It's the black shirt with the podcast logo on the front, but on the back it says Free Feed Loser. That's for all the Free Feed Losers out there. I'm giving them to you at damn near cost because I know times are tough for the Free Feed Losers. I'm joking, of course. But no, I mean, a lot of people request the Free Feed Loser. I say, hey, if that's what you want to rock, I'm proud of you. I'm proud to be a Free Feed Loser on many feeds. So that's an option for you too. Also, I should note, on a little side note, I have that VIP section coupon code going right now until July 1st. All one word, bad boy. Use that coupon code at IlluminatiWatcher.com in the VIP section, and you'll get in for a buck. And when you sign up, you're going to get a 10% off Gumroad discount code. You could use that to get your shirt. Knock $2 off your shirt. It's going to pay for your VIP membership the first month, you know? Then it goes up. You know the deal. Anyways, I'll put links in the show notes for all that stuff. Check it out. Get the shirts while you can, because you know me, I'm slow with the shirt game. You might not see these shirts for another year or two. Now, let's get into today's topic. We're talking about the Olympics, right? And the 2024 Olympics are in Paris. And every time we talk about the Olympics, we talk about symbolism and energy. And this was in my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, okay? We talked about the Olympics. Hitler used a lot of the pagan occult rituals into the torch relay. These people are really into this stuff. So the 2024 Olympics, the mascots are called Phrygies. Phrygies? I don't know. I'm probably mispronouncing it. It's fine. What is a Phrygie? Well, it references the Phrygian cap. And Wikipedia says it's a soft, generally red hat worn by freed slaves in Phrygia, an ancient Greek kingdom in what is now Turkey. At the time of the French Revolution, the Phrygian cap was worn as a symbol of freedom. Marianne, the national personification of France and basis of the Paris 2024 emblem, is often depicted wearing a Phrygian cap. All right. Well, it turns out we've got, in the 2024 Olympics, we've got two of these things. We got one for the regular Olympics and one for the Paralympics. And each Phryge was given a personality. The Olympic Phryge is, and this is what's crazy, all right? In our PC world that we live in, which, you know, if you know me, I'm okay with PC. I want to respect people. I want to call people what they want to be called. I'm not trying to be mean to people. There's no need to beat people down. But in today's politically correct culture, which sometimes goes overboard, I'll give you that. Sometimes we go a little too far with it. I'm going to read you straight from Wikipedia, so you don't think I'm making it up. Each Phryge was given a personality. The Olympic Phryge is the smart one, with a methodical mind and alluring charm. The Paralympic Phryge is a party animal, spontaneous, and a bit hot-headed. Look, I don't know if that's appropriate or not. I'm certainly not trying to start problems. I just thought that was a strange decision to make there. The reception of these things, these mascots, have been as follows. The Phryges have been likened to a giant clitoris in trainers. I have to be careful with the word I say because I'm going to put this video on YouTube. A giant clitoris in trainers. The French newspaper Libération hailed it as a revolutionary departure from the traditional phallic symbol of the Eiffel Tower. Now, this is a bit illuminated confirmed, right? I talked about this in my Eyes Wide Shut presentation in Las Vegas. If we consider the foundation of all occultism is based upon sex and sex magic. As I described in the lecture, human sexuality is considered the gateway to deeper unconscious processes functioning below the level of conscious thought. So when you see these opposing polarities, the Fierges being the giant clitoris and the Eiffel Tower being the phallus, you have these opposing polarities and, you know, male and female. In Tantra, the ideas of these opposing polarities of sex magic are referenced to extend life or find immortality. They believe that the universe itself is created by the locked union of Shakti and Shiva and sexual union. But now let's talk about this red cap, the Fiergian cap. It's sort of a cone, all right? And it's actually the same cap that Papa Smurf wears if you watch the Smurfs. So yes, we've got even more conspiracies to add to the occult symbolism of the Smurfs, because you know there's theories that it's socialist, communist, commune. There's theories that they're based upon the seven deadly sins. There's even a bit of a Gnostic theory that Gargamel, who's traditionally the bad guy, is actually the good guy, right? He's the devil. He's the Luciferian character, but he's actually the good guy because apparently his character is based upon a priest, and he was originally a priest, but then he has a cat named after a fallen angel, Azrael, which actually shows up in the Book of Enoch as one of the watchers, one of the fallen angels. And people compare Azrael to the Prometheus, okay? Which brings me to a side tangent. There's a movie out called The Watcher that I definitely am going to be watching. Don't tell me any spoilers now, because I'm definitely going to watch it the second I can. From what I gather, based upon the Watchers, the fallen angels, the demons. So there's been a lot of religious horror movies lately. I watched the prequel to The Omen, which was fantastic, by the way. And, you know, there's lots of apocalyptic religious things going on here in the film industry. But the term Fiergian comes from the ancient group, like I said earlier, the ancient group of people living in the Balkans region of Eastern Europe, Greece, Turkey, Romania. Let's zoom out, though. Let's talk about the French Revolution and the Illuminati. And full disclosure, right, I'm just an ignorant American. I don't profess to know the ins and outs of the French Revolution, but here are the basics as I find them on my research. In France, there's this struggle in the late 1700s. This is all fallout from the Enlightenment era, where all these thinkers and philosophers started talking about the idea of man pursuing his own will and having freedom and not being told what to do by the church and state. And we're in the 1789 to 1799, right after America won its independence from Britain and King George. Because in 1776, in America, we signed the Declaration of Independence from Britain. Okay? And it's been on and popping ever since. And I should note that France actually helped us out back then. All right? We were allies for a long period of time. I mean, we still are, right? But there's this sort of cultural beef from what I hear. I don't know. I don't know where the beef comes from, but from what I hear, if you go to France, they don't like Americans. I don't know if that's true. Maybe I've never been there. Anyhow, independence was in the air. So France was like, we want some of that action too. And they began pushing back against their church and state and embracing these ideals that actually come from the Bavarian Illuminati and the Freemasons. Even though the Illuminati and Freemasons were considered sort of opposing groups on some level. But anyways, it's the idea of freedom and liberty, which is the foundations to the American Constitution. And know that this was a bit of a class war against the financial and the political ruling elites in France. The monarchy. The monarchy, they believed they had the divine right to rule. They were the royal bloodlines, and you all were just the poors, and you do what you're told, right? King Louis was spending all the tax money on his own interest. He was imprisoning people who spoke out against him. Kind of an authoritarian, right? And all these elites, they were corrupt, which I don't know that we're far different from that today, but hey. But it was also a pushback against religion, because back then, from what I understand, religion was more of a control and a manipulation tool, more so than today. It was more of, what do you call it? it was more intrusive into people's lives than what we experience today, from what I understand. Now, during this time period of the Revolution, the French Revolution, two different authors wrote about this conspiracy that the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt, which was founded on May 1st, 1776, so it's the same time frame, okay? They say that the Illuminati was behind the French Revolution, spurring it on from behind the scenes. Authors John Robison and Augustin Barrel wrote these books about it, these conspiracy theories about the French Revolution, because the Illuminati was using all these Enlightenment ideals that just so happened to be the same ideals of the French Revolution. Because they thought that the Illuminati had infiltrated the Freemasons, worked their way up to the elites, because the elites are in the inner circle of the Freemasons, and then subverted those groups in an effort to shut down the powers of the church and state. This was a technique that goes back to the Assassins, as per Red Pill Daddy Bill Cooper in his Mystery Babylon series. And the books, they were very sort of right-wing conspiracy literature. They were very much scared of freedoms of the people, right? They didn't like the idea for women to have all these freedoms sexually, individually. You know, this is long before women could vote anyway. So people chalk it up to right-wing conspiracy and to shut down conversation. Now, this was, in fact, one of the first conspiracies ever. There's another one that's a bigger one. I can't say the terms here. But Rob Brotherton wrote about it in his book, Suspicious Minds. The idea then got picked up by the Protocols of the Elders of Zebras. Right? That's the code word I'm going to use, the Zebras. But its DNA is also part of today's political and geopolitical conspiracies, which is why I feel a bit conflicted on some aspects of the conspiracy world, because I actually, call me crazy, support the idea of freedom and individual rights, especially for women's rights. And I actually support the idea that we should be able to give the middle finger to the church and state, right? No one should be telling us how to live. And I'm a Christian. But I don't want people being told how to live based on my beliefs. They're for me to live up to, not you. Right? That's just not the country we live in. The founding fathers weren't even into this stuff either. Okay? They wanted to break free from the oppressive system of the church and state of Europe. That's why they came to America. That's why we fought the war. That's why we won. That's why we are who we are. Okay? But I guess to be more specific, I'm very much anti-authority on any levels. Like, that's my choice. If I want to live a Christian lifestyle, that's up to me. I will do that. I don't need not to mention all the pitfalls of the government issuing religious creeds and stuff like this. You know? It's a conflicting thing, which is why next month I'm doing a show where I talk about me and my perspectives for you to understand who I am and my background. Because I'm a patriot, but I support the right to protest. You know? I served my time in the military, active duty. But if you want to burn the flag, burn the flag. That's your right to protest. I wouldn't burn the flag. I think it's disrespectful. But, like, I wouldn't stop you from doing it. Someone else wants to do that. Someone wants to kneel during the anthem. I don't care. Go for it. That's your right to protest. That's what we fought for. Because that's the rights we have as individuals. I wouldn't do it. I respect the flag. But freedom of speech, freedom to protest, that's what this country's about. Peaceful protest. Peaceful, folks. Anyways, I'll cover this more in the July episode. Now, it all starts out with the foundations of alchemy and the occult. Hermes, Egypt. I'm going to read you from a website, DailySabah.com. Do not go to this website. I think it gave my computer multiple seizures. I mean, worse than any smutty website I've ever been on. I'm going to read you. It's kind of lengthy. I'm sorry about that in advance. The prophet Idris, the second prophet mentioned in the Quran, who was a sultan and a prophet in Egypt, not only taught people earthly sciences, but also esoteric sciences. Later, he was raised to the fourth heaven, or the realm of the sun. In time, people began to worship the sun in order to commemorate this prophet who had enlightened them with his wisdom and prosperity. The sciences he had left as a legacy were defaced and came to known as Hermeticism. It's based upon Hermes, right? That's what it means. In Lower Egypt, a city that the Greeks called Heliopolis, City of the Sun, was established. People here worshipped the sun god, whom they named Ra. They had a goddess named Wajet, also known as the Eye of Ra. That's the right eye symbolism, folks. When you see Eye of Horus, that's the left eye. Eye of Ra is the right eye. The lion-headed Wajet wore a red cap with a long back that represented the sun. This cap, a sign of Lower Egypt, was also worn by pharaohs who saw themselves as sons of the sun. Now let's pause for a second, because what they're talking about is that Fergi cap, the red conical cap that we're talking about for the Olympics mascots. And if you read Lords of the Left-Hand Path by Stephen Flowers, he talks about this idea. You see, Upper and Lower Egypt were two different realms. And Set was considered the, the deity of Lower Egypt. And the people of Upper Egypt were always like trashing on Lower Egypt, like, oh, you know, those terrible people, whatever, I don't know, whatever they say. And Set was considered the adversary, or the other, way out there in the other Egypt. And this is where the idea of antinomianism actually comes from ancient Egypt. It's the idea of an adversarial force, all right, the enemy force. So they're saying here that the red cap, the Phrygian cap, actually goes to this other thing, goes back to Lower Egypt. And Set, or Satan. French King Louis the XVI, what is that? 16th, is depicted wearing a red cap and exclaiming, "Long live the nation." Oh, that's a caption, sorry. Apparently there's an image of that. The sun cult of Egypt in time spread to Iran and Anatolia. The red cap, which carries the colors of the esoteric sun, or fire that illuminates the soul, became the symbol of the Hermetics. Now, another side note, this makes me think of Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me. And of course, the fire and the idea of the light, or the illuminated one, could obviously be very much tied into Lucifer or Luciferian ideas. But the idea to take from this, the red cap actually represents the sun. Okay. And it became the symbol of the Hermetics. In Iran, it is rumored that Perseus, who killed Medusa, was the first to wear this headdress. Perseus was the one who brought the sciences of esotericism and magic to Iran. He had also established the faith based on Mithras, the god of light, before Zoroastrianism. The Mithras faith spread to Asia Minor thanks to the Magi, Zoroastrian priests, who were the clergy of this belief. Now, it's funny because I think, actually, me and Josie talked about this on maybe the most recent episode of Breaking Social Norms, about the three wise men and if they were actually magicians. It says here, there were Zoroastrian priests who were the lover of the Phrygian goddess, Great Mother Cybele, who sat on a lion throne in Anatolia and was the equivalent of Horus in Egypt, was again dressed in this red cap. During the Roman period, the Romans, who had been influenced by Iranian Zoroastrianism and Mithras beliefs, founded a secret esoteric sect within the same name. Only men were accepted into Mithraism. The order became especially popular with members of the military and slaves. Thanks to them, it spread all over the empire. Temples called Mithraei were built in the name of Mithras, or Sol Invictus, unconquered sun, the sun deity of the sect. Mithras was always depicted with a red cap in these temples, including the latest one discovered in Turkey. It says a bunch of words I don't understand. The red cap was seen in the West as an omen of the Jews. It was also known as the Trojan or Phrygian cap as it crossed to the West via Anatolia. The center of Hermeticism in the West became Italy, especially Venice. That's why the Venetian Doge's hat was designed as a Phrygian cap. In some churches in Italy, the Magi visiting the infant Jesus, there's the three wise men, were depicted with this cap on their heads. It is rumored that these Magi were Zoroastrians from Iran. Cosimo de' Medici, the leader of the Medici family in Florence, who was brought to power by Venice, also preferred these caps when he had the Renaissance painter Benozzo Gozzoli depict him and his family in the scene of the biblical Magi. The influence of the Mithras belief and Zoroastrianism in Iran continued after the introduction of Islam. The famous Iranian leader of the Hermetic Assassins, that's what I was talking about earlier, the Assassins, Hassan Sabah, was depicted by Westerners with this red cap. The Shiite, Kizilbashes, redheads, who contributed to the establishment of the Safavid dynasty, were called by this name because of the sun-colored cap they wore. Jeez. All right, we're done. Now, all right. The Phrygian caps basically goes back to the Middle East, the Assassins, goes back to ancient Egypt, goes back to the worship of the sun. All right. And it's supposed to represent freedom and liberty. Again, symbolized by a lot of these occultists and the esoterics. They always talk about Lucifer and the light bearer being the symbol of freedom and liberty. Now, we talked about this. We talked about Mithras in my Raised by Wolves series. All right. I talked about the show Raised by Wolves a few years ago. In part two, I will remind you what we talked about. We talked about the cult of Mithras because it was this mystery religion in Rome. They worshiped the sun, and it's derived from Zoroastrianism. Because at the time, Rome was this mixture of religions. There was several gods. There was, because they were pagan culture, right? And they would find new gods and just throw them into the mix. They didn't discriminate. Anyone was welcome to worship whatever. And the people kind of picked and choose who they wanted to worship. So when they started up the cult of Mithras, it was like, okay, yeah, throw it in the mix. Yeah, here you go. You want to worship them? Go for it. But from what that article was saying, it was men only. They also had initiation degrees, secret handshakes, again, very Freemasonic, vow of silence, underground temples, like that article talked about how they found one recently. And they were competing with Christianity until Christianity got defined into what it is today. And at this point, supposedly they went underground, okay? It's arguable that they could have been part of the Knights Templar movement. The argument is that Mithras was also supposedly born on December 25th, which was the time when Rome was doing the Saturnalia parties, sun god worship. But the religion was basically focused on the god Mithras, and it depicted Mithras with the red Phrygian cap slaying the bull and feasting with the sun. All right. And, you know, it was all the symbolism of Mithras. Like, he was born from a rock. And a lot of the symbolism you find in Raised by Wolves, which was a fantastic show. I wish they would have never got rid of that. But Mithras was, you know, very similar, depicted with the Phrygian cap as, you know, Mother Liberty and all this sort of early American culture stuff. But they said that I think we talked about this already, but Cybele was the consort to Mithras in some way. And Cybele was important in Roman culture too. There's a temple to her on the Palatine Hill. But what was interesting about Mithras is that it was considered a left-hand path religion. And that book I talked about earlier, Lords of the Left-Hand Path, actually talked about this, and it said, a close study of Mithraism reveals that it is a sophisticated system developed from the religion of the warrior bands, hyenas, of early Iranian culture. Right? Remember earlier we said the caps, the Phrygian caps, come from Persian culture. I'm going to keep reading and then we're going to wrap up, folks. This is often eclectically mixed with elements from religions and mystery cults with which the Mithraists come into contact. When the Romans came into contact with this cult after the middle of the first century, it spread among soldiers throughout the Roman Empire. In contrast to other common forms of Iranian religion, Mithraism is remarkably free of dualistic thinking. Mithras, who in some respects resembled another culture hero, also born on December 25th, achieved salvation through the sacrifice of a bull. Eventually, this bull sacrifice cult lost out to the human sacrifice cult of Christianity. From the standpoint of Orthodox Zoroastrianism, both Zervanism and Mithraism represent heretical, evil paths of darkness. Blah, blah, blah. Mithraism, because it revolves around the worship of one of the old gods, Mithras. What is more, he is worshipped at night, which is in itself constitutes an evil act of devil worship among Orthodox Zoroastrians. And he is a warrior god who sacrifices a cosmic bull to create the world, which is reminiscent of the sacrificial cult of the old Iranian warrior cults, the Hyenas. The followers of Mithras take part in that sacrifice, thus becoming creators themselves. So, final verdict, in conclusion, what are we to make of the 2024 Paris Olympics mascots? They're Illuminae confirmed. And why not? The caps, the Phrygian caps, which we just talked about for 30 minutes, all their connections to the occult and left-hand paths and Zoroastrianism and Mithras and Hermeticism. Of course they are, because the Olympic Games have all this occult symbolism within them. And they already started the torch relay. The tradition that Hitler and the propaganda minister of the Nazis, Joseph Goebbels, gave us back in 1936. They're the ones that started the torch relay. You know, we've had the Olympics forever, but they're the ones that said, no, we're going to actually light the torch from the rays of the sun in Olympia at the Temple of Hera, which, by the way, at the Temple of Hera, there was a statue to Hermes there. And then it gets hand-carried all the way to the Olympic Games, wherever they are in the whole world, every time. And so, of course, it goes back to solar worship and all these things. So, and if you want more on that, you can pick up. Look, I know I keep grifting you here. One more grift. This is a good one, a free book. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to Start Here, or find the field to sign up for the free email newsletter. If you sign up, the first time you sign up, the first email, I will send you a coupon code to get my first book for free, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, where I talk in depth about the Olympics and the symbolism within it. Still relevant, you know, 12 years later after I wrote that thing. Or you can pick it up on Amazon or Audible. I actually didn't read that one. I read all my other books on Audible. I contracted that one out, but everyone's like, I want you to read it. Okay, so I read all my other books. So there's some options there. But the symbol of the mascot is Illuminae confirmed for sure. Let's see what happens at the Olympics. I'm very curious to see what the opening ceremony looks like. So be sure to stay subscribed to the podcast, because we'll probably cover that if there's some stuff in there worth talking about. And again, last minute pitch. Check the show notes, because I've got a link to the 80% off VIP section where you're going to get a discount coupon you can use on my Gumroad store, which is where you can go and get the super soft t-shirts while I got them in stock. And you can even get your free feed loser represent shirt, or These Nerds Are Going to Kill Us. Both very fun. Okay. Thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay positive.